Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Sometimes when we're having conversations with people, we are giving them some advice and we're talking to them, and then they go away and they do something. And then they come back and we ask them, well, did you follow the advice that I gave you? And they said, well, I heard what you said, but I decided that I was going to do my own thing. And so then you ask, so how did that work out for you? Well, it didn't work out so well. So you didn't take the advice? No. Do you ever have those conversations where you feel like you're giving advice, you're just always pouring out, giving suggestions to somebody, they come back, they tell you how it didn't work out, you ask them what they did, and you realize that they did not follow anything that you had suggested? Ever been in one of those situations? Yeah, I'm sure that we all have. You know, especially as parents, sometimes children will be in the kitchen, and we'll be doing something on the counter, preparing a meal or whatever the case may be, and you know that the stove is on and a child walks into the kitchen. And then you see them walking towards you and you say, stop, just so you know, the stove is hot. And then you see them inch a little bit closer and say, remember, the stove is hot. And then you look over and out of the corner of your eye, before you even have a chance to get those words out of your mouth, the hand has been extended and you hear this vicious scream. In that moment, what is your response? Your response in that moment, it's often a reflection of what you might have heard as a child, you know, when you're small and then growing up, and those words that you heard continue, and now you're a grown adult and you're saying the same thing. So you have two choices. You can go to the child and be like, man, I told you not to do that. I've told you that like 3 times. Did you not listen to me? I told you you were going to... And you could just continue to remind them of everything that you've said. Or you can come alongside, take them by the hand, walk them over with the hand that's not burning, get it under some cold water, grab an ice pack, and just be there and just love on them and support them through the midst of their crying. What you do in that moment is your choice. This morning, I want to talk to the fathers, but I also want to talk to every single one of us. When you hear the term father, what do you think about? Where does your mind go when you think about father? You know, so for example, if you walk into Hallmark or into Dollarama or wherever it is that you buy your greeting cards from, you're standing there, you have all of these cards in front of you. You see one says, to my father, which to me sounds very, very formal. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Sounds very formal. Or you might see, to my dad, which is more like, sounds like a bit of a term of endearment. Or you might look over and you see humorous dad cards. And it's like, yeah, my dad and I were always joking, so he'll appreciate a good laugh on Father's Day. Or perhaps you go over and you see the religious dad cards and you decide to choose from there. What section do you choose a card from? So when I talk about fathers, where does your mind go? When I talk about your heavenly father, where is it that your mind will go? Some individuals, when they hear the term father, they'll immediately go down this positive path and they think, oh, my dad was great. He was a coach. He taught me how to change the oil on my car. He was always there. He was a provider. He was all of these things. And they just cannot say enough good things about their father. And then you have some other individuals and they hear the term father and their mind goes down a very negative path. Their dad might not have been there for them. He was an absent father. They didn't have a good relationship. And sometimes when we hear the term heavenly father, we tend to look at God through the same lens, the same filter as what we think of our earthly father. So how you see your father is up to you. The choice is yours. Well, no, it's not, Chad, because you don't know my father. He was not always around. Every time I hear that term father, I get so angry inside of me. Well, that's a choice that you're making. No, you weren't there. You don't understand the way that he spoke to me and the way that he treated me. You're right. I don't understand. I can't begin to even comprehend what that would look like. But still, the choice is yours. You are the one who is making and taking on this emotion. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe? So when I say that, nobody is able to make you mad, glad, happy, angry, sad. Nobody is able to inflict that emotion upon you. Do you believe that? Well, let me give you an example. I'm looking for a dad who is okay with receiving a gift this morning. I do have one gift here, I should say, so not all of them were donated. Trying to see. James, want a gift? I'm coming to you, don't worry. I'm coming down to you. So I have this gift for you, okay? It's a card that I wrote out to you, just in faith of who I was going to give this to. Inside is a gift card for $20 to go to the Mill Coffee. Are you familiar with the Mill? It's down on Comox Ave. Go grab a coffee. You can walk down to the marina. It's a fantastic place. It's my second office. So anyway, I have this for you. If I give this to you, how would you feel about that?
I'm quite appreciative.
Yeah?
Sure.
Okay, would it make you happy?
By all means.
Okay, now did I make you feel that way?
No, the coffee did.
The coffee did? But if this makes you happy, is it something that I did or did you choose to be happy about this?
No, something you did.
It's something that I did. Then I don't know if I can give this to you because I can't actually make you feel happy. Yes, but you made the choice to be happy, right? Because you could be really sad, be like, no, I'd rather have a Slurpee gift card, not a coffee gift card.
I'm not a Slurpee person.
Yeah, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. But the thing is, what I was trying to say is that I can't actually make him happy, right? He makes the choice to be happy. You made it very difficult. This is not how I had this all pictured in my head. But I'm not going to be mad about that. I'm going to make the choice to laugh about that, right? So, I mean, the thing is that him getting this card, it does make him happy, but I'm not able to inflict that emotion on him. The same is true in our relationship with God. We make the choice of how we're going to feel. So this morning, I'm going to be walking with us. We're going to look at a bunch of different passages. And I want us to look this morning at incorporating ways that we are able to change the way that we think, the way that we hear things, how we feel. So we've been discussing for the last few weeks and talking about hearing from God. So this morning, I believe that God is speaking to every single one of us. Now, on the first week that I said, I talked about this sermon series, I called it, "Can you hear me now?" And then the next week, I think I said it, "Can you hear me now?" This morning, I believe that God is looking down at us and he's holding us, and picture your hands being taken into his cheeks, and he's looking at you and very gently saying, "Can you hear me now?" Same sentence, every single time it's been said differently. What you hear is different. What you choose to receive from it could be different. So this morning, in order for us to hear, we have to believe that God is speaking to us. Now, some of us, God has been speaking to us on a regular basis. But for some, we take our hands like this, we put them over our ears, and we just don't want to listen. Sometimes when he begins to speak louder, we just, "Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. No, God, I can't hear you. I don't know what you're saying. I don't want to listen to you." Is that how we sometimes are when it comes to God speaking to us? So I believe that in order for us to hear what God wants to say to us, requires some alterations, some changes in the way that we believe that God is speaking. I had permission from my wife to share this story with you, and some of you may already be aware of this. When Kyla was born, there was some complications during her birth, and she, as a result, she had some nerve damage in her hearing. And so she actually has very little, she can actually hear very little. And some people are amazed by that because, I'm biased on this, but I think that my wife has an absolutely beautiful voice. And so you think, well, how can she sing like that when she can't hear? It's a gift from God. So, I mean, she had to grow up without being able to hear. And she had hearing aids when she was younger, but then she developed an allergy to what the hearing aid was made of. And about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, through the help of our benefits package that we had, she was able to, for the first time, get hearing aids that really assisted her. Her hearing is described as being extreme to severe. So she really can't hear a whole lot without the help of her hearing aids. I remember the night that she got them. We were going to a banquet, and she had to go and get her hearing aids, and so we were just going to meet at the banquet. And she walked in, and she kind of had this look on her face, and I said, "How does it feel?" She says, "For the first time in my life, I heard the sound of snow crunch underneath my feet." And then as she's sitting there at the banquet, you can kind of see her, and I said, "What's going on?" She says, "Wow, there's a lot of noise in here." She had not heard this before. She was not used to hearing so much sound and hearing all of this background. So it really changed our communication, right? Suddenly, we're able to talk, and she's able to hear every single word that comes out of my mouth, which also meant that I had to change because I could no longer mutter things under my breath, because now all of a sudden she could hear what I'm saying. So it was a bit of a learning curve and some days frustrating for me. But I want us to look at how it is that taking the time to listen and having the right hearing methods can change, and suddenly we're able to hear what it is that God is speaking into our lives. So this morning, there's four steps that we're going to look at and we're going to incorporate in an effort, in a hope that we will be able to hear God more clearly. So in the context of hearing, this is for us hearing from our Heavenly Father, but this too could impact how we hear and what we have, the relationships that we have here on this earth could be with our earthly Father. So this morning, like I said, we're going to be diving into some scriptures, and before we get to there, let's pray. And God, I ask that you would open up our spiritual ears. There might be people here this morning who said, "Well, I'm just going to go to church. It's Father's Day. I'm going to go with my kid. I'm just going to appease them." But Father, I pray that you would remove any hindrances right now, and so that they would be able to hear. And this applies to every single one of us, that we would hear clearly what it is that you are saying to us. And that we would remember those two questions. God, what are you saying to me? And what am I going to do about it? So, Father, I pray that you continue to direct our thoughts and our minds as we walk through these passages this morning. We ask this in your name. Amen. The first step that's important for us to know who we are, to know and to hear, is knowing who you are. Do we understand and know who we are? So if you have your Bibles, our first passage is found in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read verses 9 and 10. It's going to be on the screen. I'm reading from the ESV. So you can follow along, or you can follow along on the screen there. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. "But you," and this is speaking to us, "you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Do we hear the royalty that we hold? Do we understand the royalty that we hold? For example, if somebody were to walk up to, or you had the opportunity to go and speak with, say, Kate Middleton or Meghan Markle, if you were to have a conversation with them, I highly doubt that they are questioning their role in the royal family. They've been adopted. The crown has been placed upon them, and they walk with confidence of knowing they're a part of the royal family. But their family is an earthly family. You, us, we are a part of a heavenly royal family. God has called you out of darkness and brought you into the light. You were not able to see, but now you can see which way it is that you are to be walking. You were once not a people, but now you are God's people. You have received, and you continue to receive every good gift that the Father pours down upon you. God has placed a crown upon your head. In many discussions that I get to have as a pastor, I hear individuals comment and think about the fact that I just don't know who I am. I don't understand who I am. And you'll hear their story. You know, sometimes it's a dad who says, well, right out of high school, I got this job working here, and I was really good at it. I made a good income, and I just stayed here, and now I've got a family. I've been here for 15 years, but I am just so discontented in what I'm doing. And now he's wrestling. It's like, I don't even know what I want to do when I grow up. And meanwhile, he's already got a family. He's raising his own kids, and he doesn't know. He doesn't understand his identity. It could be the mom who has 3 kids. Her husband did everything for her. He handled the finances. He was the provider. He did the budget. He repaired the vehicle. He did all of these things. And through tragic circumstances, he's passed away, and now she's left to raise 3 kids. She doesn't understand finances. She's never had to balance the budget. She doesn't even know where to go. And she's like, who am I? All of my identity was obviously found in my husband. I'm not sure what your story looks like, but do we know who we are? Are we struggling to understand who it is that's adopted us? We are a part of God's family. It's a heavenly family that will never end. Kate and Megan, they're a part of a royal family here on this earth, but when their time on earth is done, that royalty ends. God has adopted you, and he's brought you into that heavenly royal family. He loves you. You are his own. You are bought with a price. He loves you. He wants to talk about you. The same way that when my daughters come and talk with me, I want to sit. When there's new developments in their life, I want to hear all about that. I want to know all of the details. I take an interest in their lives. When they speak, I want to take the time to listen. Your heavenly Father delights in you. He loves to hear about what's going on in your life. He wants to talk with you. And likewise, he wants you to talk with him. So the first step is understanding where our identity lies. My Father is the God of this universe. He created this world that I get to enjoy. I am his son. You're his daughter, right? If you've ever seen that movie, Anne of Green Gables, Anne walks up, she's still in the orphanage, and she walks up and she goes to the window and she taps on the window and she says, Katie, can you hear me? I know that you're always listening. We don't have to go up to a window and tap on a window and say, God, are you there? God, are you listening? God is always with us. We're not in an orphanage, right? We've been adopted by our Heavenly Father. He loves us. Do you believe that this morning? Are you thankful this morning for your adoption? Do you believe that you've been adopted? Perfect. That will make a point in a little bit. A lot easier for you to receive and understand. The second step to understand is believing that you will hear. Now we're going to go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 22. Again, it's going to be on the screen for you. And it says, at that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. As we understand who we are, we walk in the confidence of knowing that our Heavenly Father is listening to us. He's always listening. Last week I shared with you that in order for you to receive, what do we have to do first? We have to believe, right? We have to believe. I came down and gave this card to James. I gave it to him. What would it look like if I said to him, I have this gift for you? And he looks at me, no, you don't. No, James, this gift is for you. No, that's not for me. In order for him to receive it, to accept this gift, he had to believe that it was for him. He had to then take it and use it, knowing that this is his gift. When God speaks into our lives, we ourselves have to make a choice. Am I going to believe this word that he is speaking, or am I going to reject it? Jesus was in the temple with the Jews. He was telling them very plainly who he is, and they chose not to believe him. He was standing right there in front of him, and they made the choice not to believe. Not to believe him. They're not going to receive until they believe. So the question is, do you believe he is who he says he is? Do you believe it? I was beginning to wonder. Now here's another question. Have you received him? That's the key component right there. Because even the demons believe. Right? Have you received him? Every single Sunday, I present the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. Jesus came as a baby in a manger to walk with us, to be here with us, to teach us how to live, knowing that he was going to eventually die on a cross to pay the ultimate price for us so that we could have life. He would rise again 3 days later, victorious over death, victorious over sin. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes and is justified. And with the mouth, one confesses. You believe it, and as you speak it out, you are receiving that salvation that God is giving. Jesus wants us to believe in him. So at the end of the day, we all have a choice to make. We can choose to believe in God, or we can choose not to believe in God. You can make the choice to believe in him, receive him, and spend eternity with him. The opposite of receiving is rejecting. Or you can choose to reject God and live for eternity apart from him. The choice is ours, right? We have that choice. Do we believe that what God is saying? Faith is the response that Jesus is looking for in all of us. Without faith, we don't have a relationship with God. Sometimes when we look at things that are going on in this world, we believe in these things. We see these things or we hear about these things. It takes a lot more faith to believe in that than it does to believe in Christ. Where is our faith this morning? Are we believing in what God says? Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The reward is life in heaven with him. But we must have the faith to believe that he is who he says he is. Where is our faith this morning? The third step is recognizing all of the ways that God does speak. Sometimes his voice is very clear. Sometimes it's very quiet and gentle. There are so many ways that God will speak to us, but too often we go looking for those loud, boisterous ways. Yes, God spoke through burning bushes. Yes, God spoke through the angels. But 1 Kings 19, 11, 12 says, just listen to this. Elijah realized the way that God was speaking to him, and he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. The soft whisper was the voice of God." Sometimes God speaks very quietly into our hearts. Do we have the faith to believe that God is speaking to us? Do we have that faith to believe that God is speaking? What are some of the ways that he speaks? You know, sometimes we think that other people get everything. You know, it's kind of like some people when they meet celebrities. They meet them and, you know, it's that automatic reaction. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that. It's you. And then they get all tongue-tied. They don't even know what to say. I can't believe it's you. I can't believe I'm standing. Can I tell you something? That person that's standing in front of you, they go to the bathroom just like you. I don't know if this is okay to say, but they poop and pee just like you. They put their pants on one leg at a time. We are all normal, everyday people. And who does God speak to? Normal, everyday people, all of us. God speaks to us. Are we making the choice to believe what he is saying? Are we taking the time? Are we making the choice to hear what he is saying? We are, as I said last week, we are normal, ordinary people that get to do extraordinary things for God. And we only get to do those things because of the extraordinary God that we serve. So what are some of those ways that God speaks to us? He speaks to us through our conscience. Sometimes we're doing something and we'll have this little nugget drop into our hearts like, oh, where did that come from? And then we take it and we explore it. It's like, that was God speaking to me. That was God giving me, because I would never have come up with that idea on my own. Sometimes God will speak to us through a sense of peace. God, I'm going into this day and I'm asking that you would be with me. God, give me a peace in my heart as I'm in that meeting. And then at the end of the day, we come home and, you know, our spouse might say, so how did the meeting go? Oh, it went so well. I had such a peace as I was delivering everything. Did we stop and say, God, thank you. That was you. I had asked you this morning. I believed, and then I received that peace that you poured out. Sometimes he speaks to us through our circumstances, things that are happening to us in life. He speaks, and then we see him at work in our lives. Sometimes he'll speak through other people. Sometimes he uses my daughter. Sometimes he uses the leadership council. Sometimes he uses you, members of this church, to speak to me. And the same is true for you. Your colleagues, your family, your friends. God will speak. Are we listening? This same God used a donkey to speak to somebody. So if he wants to get your attention, he's going to get your attention. And then he speaks to us. I find that he speaks to us through creation. One of the things that I just love about living here is getting out into nature and exploring and seeing everything that this city and this valley has to offer. I hear God speak when I'm out on the trail. I hear God speak when I'm standing down on the pier. I allow him and I open up my heart to hear what he wants to say to me. And the thing to remember is that sometimes he doesn't speak the way that we want him to speak, or we don't get. We go looking, we have the faith that God will speak, but it doesn't always turn out the way that we think. So, for example, a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity of going fishing with John Sargent and Brooke Peterson. Do you like that, John? I mentioned you. He saw the picture. He's like, hey, I was there too, so I just had to let you know that John was on that boat that day, and he took the picture. He's going to feel better now. But anyway, I just inflicted. There you go. See? That's how it's done, James. That's how it's done right there. But we're on this boat, and we had been fishing all morning. And I had caught a salmon, and then we decided, you know, like we weren't having a whole lot of luck with fishing. And it was around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And so Brooke says, well, do you guys want to move in to closer to shore, and maybe we'll start fishing for some lingcod? Sure, let's do it. So we go in, and we pull up, and, you know, we're just kind of hovering around there. And so Brooke goes up, and he stands on the front of the boat. I don't know my boat terms. The bow. He stands on the bow. Thank you. And he says, okay, guys, watch this. And he casts his rod. He says, I'll show you how it's done. And I'm not even joking. Like, so he took the step of faith. He cast that rod, that hook out there. And he had put on a hook to catch a lingcod. So he cast it. He says, I'll show you how this is done. And within seconds, there is something on that hook. And he starts, I was like, are you kidding me? You have something already? He says, yeah. He says, I told you I'd show you how it's done. And I literally see this fish come flying out of the water. I've never seen this happen except on TV, you know, where it comes flying out of the water. I didn't even have a chance to get my phone out to video it or anything. So he says, I told you guys that I would show you how it's done. And he wheels this thing in. And he holds it up. It's like almost a 20-pound spring salmon. We had gone fishing for lingcod. The hook was for a lingcod, but he caught a salmon. And through that, God reminded me, you take the step of faith, but I'm the one who orchestrates how things are going to happen, right? Sometimes we move in a direction and, you know, I could have stood there and like, no, you didn't catch anything. No, I'm not believing that. You didn't get it. But the thing is that what God gives to us, we have to receive that because God is able to see the bigger picture. Are we so stubborn that when God shows up and shows off, that it's like, well, no, you didn't do what I prayed for, so no, this is not you. Really? You ask God to provide, and he provides in a different way than what you're expected. Does that mean that God didn't provide? Right? Sometimes we become so fixated on what we think it should look like that we fail to see the big picture of what God is calling us to. We might think, well, God just doesn't speak to me. I don't hear God's voice. Here's a simple activity that I would encourage you to try. If you think that you don't hear God's voice, let's start here. Why not start by simply thanking him? Just thank him. Just spend a few days of thanking him. Before you ask him for anything, thank him for what he's done. Well, what do I thank him for? If I have to tell you, like, God, I thank you for my daughters. I thank you that they're serving you. God, I thank you for my wife. I thank you that she loves me unconditionally. God, I thank you that I get to pastor this church. God, I thank you that you provide every single one of our needs. God, I thank you for the great friends that I have. God, and just continuously thank God for what he's done. Try it. And as you begin to focus on what God has blessed you with and thanking him for what he's done, you will notice a natural shift in your brain. And you'll be able to hear God a lot more clearly. Why? Because your eyes have been taken off of yourself and they've been put on God. And God speaks to us. We hear his voice. The final step in changing our thinking is to realize that we all hear God in different ways. When you read through Scripture, you're able to hear stories of how God has provided and the things that he has done. But we don't always hear all of those intricate details. We don't hear fully about the experience and what the individual had to go through. Do you ever wonder why that is? For me, I believe it's because if I saw exactly what they did and all the steps, I'd probably go and try and recreate that story. That's not a step of faith. I need to listen to God's voice and do what God is asking me to do. Each of us is different. Each of us is unique. We are not able to recreate the story from Scripture. When they heard God speak, they knew that it was God speaking. The way that God speaks to me is going to be different than how he speaks to you, because the way that you were created is different than the way that I was created. Just giving you an example, if we were to show up at the scene of an accident, we stand there and we see, like, we've all seen the exact same accident scene. Nothing has been touched. What is going to catch your eye is going to be different than what your friend's eye catches and different from what my eye catches. Every one of us see things differently. We're all looking at an accident, but what catches your eye is different. So the way that God speaks to me and the way that I hear God is going to be different for you because you've been created differently. We all see and hear things differently. And this is why I have to be so careful. And, you know, so for example, someone may come to me or may come to you after service and say, "Oh man, what an amazing time I had in worship this morning. Oh, the presence of God was so real. Man, Joel was just in tune with Holy Spirit." And that person could be having a conversation with somebody else, and that person might say, "Oh, really? Oh, well, that's cool that that happened for you, but I didn't hear God. They didn't sing my favorite song. They didn't have a hymn. I didn't know all of the songs. They didn't do this." And yes, you know what tends to happen is that that person then starts to question, "Oh, did I actually hear from God then? Did I hear from God? This person didn't hear from God." We actually rob them of the blessing of hearing God's voice. So we have to be so careful what we speak over other people's lives, because we could be the ones who are robbing them of a blessing. So when they come to you and share with you what God has been speaking into their hearts, let's rejoice with them. Let's thank God that he is speaking to them. Just recently, I had a conversation with an individual who was listening to a podcast. And they said to me, you know, as they were listening, or they were saying, "Man, I listened to this podcast this morning. It was so great. I just love the way that this guy preaches." And then they stopped and they said to me, "Does it ever bother you when somebody says to you that they like this certain person's preaching?" I said, "No, not at all." "Oh, okay." I said, "It doesn't hurt your feelings?" Like, "No. Here's the thing to remember. I'm not Judah Smith. I'm not Craig Rochelle. I'm not Joyce Meyer. I'm not Evan Allnut over at Foursquare. I am Chad Verge. And I'm going to speak the way that God has directed me to speak." They all have the congregation that they have been asked to oversee and to shepherd. God has called me and led me here. God speaks to my heart, and I share with you what I believe that God is speaking to me to share with you. So when they come to me and say, "Oh man, this was bang on," sometimes when I'm listening, I'm thinking, "Well, that's actually what I preached about 2 weeks ago." But thank God that this individual allowed their heart to be open to be spoken to through this individual. You know, I might have said it, so I don't go to them and get all upset. It's like, okay, obviously their heart was ready to receive it when this person said it. I'm okay with that. I'm not that insecure. I know that I'm not the greatest speaker in the world. You could find a lot greater people to listen to. You could sit at home. But then you wouldn't get to look at this beautiful face. Right? Ah, yes. Anyway. Are we allowing ourselves to change to hear what God wants to say to us? When Kyla first got her hearing aids, you know, she'd be going along, and then all of a sudden she could tell when the batteries were about to die. And there were times where we'd be out somewhere and far from home, and all of a sudden she'd look at me and she'd say, "Oh, my batteries just died." I knew in that moment that anything that I had to say to her from that point forward, I had to be looking at her, or else I had to tap her to let her know that I was speaking to her because she reads your lips, right? So if she's often looking at you, it's because she's actually reading your lips as well as listening. So I had to make sure that she was listening and she could hear what she could hear through my words what I was saying. And then the moment that she changed the batteries in her hearing devices, she was able to hear so much clearer. She could hear what was being said. This morning, is God asking you to change the batteries in your hearing devices? Has your hearing been off? Has God been trying to speak and it's just that static? You know when you're trying to work something and the battery is about to go and it's just not working properly? Maybe God is asking you to change out the batteries so that you're able to hear him that much clearer. God speaks to all of us. It's important that we don't listen to God through the same filter as what we might necessarily listen to our earthly father through. When God speaks, are we taking the time to get to know him and as such understanding who he's created us to be? Are we believing that he's speaking to us and receiving what it is that he's saying? Do you realize that you've been created by God Almighty and that he takes joy in you? He wants to spend time with you. He's listening to your voice. Do you realize that the way that God speaks to somebody else is going to be different than how he speaks to another person? What has God been saying to you? And what are you going to do about it? This week, my challenge to you, my encouragement to you, is take some time to listen to God. Perhaps change out the batteries in your hearing devices. And then next week, come back as we can continue on in this series. We have two more parts to this series, and the next week is part one of that series, and it's called #NoFilter, Hearing God Without a Filter. Father, I thank you that you have been speaking. I believe that you have been speaking into the hearts of every single person that is here. My hope and my prayer is that we are receiving what it is that you are saying. Receiving what you are saying. Father, I pray that we would take those two questions. God, what are you saying? And what am I going to do about it? God, you sent your son to this earth as a baby in a manger to be the savior of this world. I believe that you are God. I believe that you came to this earth. I believe all of those things. Am I going to receive it and know who I am in Christ? Allow myself to be adopted into the family of God. Having a relationship with you. Being able to say, Abba, Father, Daddy. Father, this morning I also want to take time to pray for each man in this place. God, as men, you have called us to be the spiritual headship of our families. It's so easy to want to discredit ourselves or to put ourselves down or think, oh, I wasn't who I should be. But God, there's still hope. Today is an opportunity for us to change. We can change that course by listening to your voice and doing what it is that you're calling us to do. So, Father, I pray that men in this church would rise up to become the spiritual headship in their families that you have called them to be. I pray for those individuals who perhaps their dad is no longer with them. Maybe he's passed away. Maybe he's somewhere else and they're not able to see him. I pray that you would comfort their hearts because we know that you are the father to the fatherless. And we thank you for that. You are the father to every single person here in this room this morning. And we thank you for that. So God, as we go our separate ways, I ask that you would continue to go with us, walk before us, lead us, guide every step that we take. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.